Welcome everybody there joining us on YouTube. Thumbs up from Donna. Anybody else want to give me a thumbs up? Amen. All right. Oh, look at all them thumbs. Only one thumbs down. All right. She changed her mind. She gave me a thumbs up first, then she switched it. Thank you, Elijah. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon, please, to Revelation chapter 1. I'll also be going pretty soon to Daniel chapter 7. You might have that at the ready. For today, I'm bringing part three in our series of studies from John's revelation of Jesus Christ. I will be wrapping up chapter one today. Before the message, though, I want to thank Brother Mark for his very scholarly first hour presentation on the COVID-19 fraud. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. I would just add to Mark's presentation by summarizing some of the many things that show us how fake this whole staged pandemic really is. And as Mark pointed out, the whole purpose for it is to exert complete, total government control. And giving credit where credit is due, I'm quoting this. I have a 10-point list from Joel Skousen's World Affairs Brief from last week, which goes as follows. Point number one, these are all the reasons we know this thing is a fraud. Number one, since the beginning, only the old and chronically ill or the immunodeficient were dying. And that doesn't rate a pandemic level or label. Lies and fear were used without evidence to say it was a universal threat. Donald Trump coming on national TV saying there's going to be 2.2 million deaths in America, if you recall. And it was all a lie, all lies, no universal threat. And Joel Skousen says, point number two, the biggest lie has been that asymptomatic people with no outward symptoms could be dangerously contagious for as much as 14 days before symptoms appear. That's a big lie. All the restrictions on our liberties come from this single lie, writes Joel Skousen. All the restrictions on our liberties come from this single lie. The biggest lie, Number three, the second biggest lie is that because we can't diagnose based on symptoms, we need to test to determine who is infected. We can't depend on symptoms showing up, because there's so many people with COVID that don't have any symptoms, they don't get sick. So we can't rely on symptoms showing up, and we need to test to determine who's infected. A PCR test, which he writes is not a good tool for diagnosing disease according to its inventor, was improperly prepared by doping the test with coronavirus primer and then setting the parameters to amplify the results by a high number of cycles to guarantee unreliable, overblown results. The generic coronavirus primer shows positive results for any coronavirus, including the portion that is just a common cold. I mentioned that before. All colds and flu, they're all caused by a variant of the coronavirus. And so this shows everything as COVID-19. Four, cold and flu cases have disappeared, as Mark pointed out first hour. Cold and flu cases have disappeared as everyone with any of these real diseases either tests positive for COVID-19 or is diagnosed as such by medical personnel, which we've also pointed out, Brother Mark did too, the first hour. Now, the hospitals are being paid to diagnose COVID-19. The car accidents being diagnosed as COVID-19. Over 85% of those who test positive have mild or no symptoms. The vast majority of these are probably false positives. Five, deaths have been falsely attributed to COVID-19 throughout the pandemic. They ceased to count flu deaths in the spring, labeled everything COVID-19, did the same in the fall. Death rates are not appreciably higher this year than they have been every year due to flu. About the same. Then came all the false solutions, point number six. They said wearing masks and social distancing would flatten the curve, but that was impossible to measure using a test prone to false positives. Nothing worked, but these policies are still being mandated. Seven, they shut down businesses, churches, and restaurants to flatten the curve, so-called. But it did nothing but destroy small businesses and put millions on unemployment. Michael Snyder reports that, quote, since the beginning of the pandemic, there have been more than 70 million new claims for unemployment benefits, well over a million new claims per week since the first lockdowns went into effect. The old all-time record for a single week was just 695,000, and that was set way back in 1982. Point number eight, more accurate descriptions of the deaths attributed to COVID-19 slowly leaked out, showing that official death rates have been heavily inflated by including deaths from chronic disease in the old age. A lower level CDC report says that less than 10% of COVID deaths have COVID as exclusive cause of death. A Minnesota legislative report confirms this, that he cites too. Point number nine, a vaccine has always been touted as the only way to save us from this threat. They promise that a vaccine will allow us to get back to normal. Now we are told that we still have to wear masks and restrict our normal association. Then they said one dose would not be enough, that everyone needed multiple doses of the vaccine. And then yearly doses like the flu shot, which never does any good. Viruses mutate, so you can never develop a vaccine that works. Point number 10. They claim the vaccine is safe and effective, but manufacturers are granted blanket immunity lawsuits, blanket immunity against lawsuits for damage. Why so if it's safe? But Mark pointed that out first hour as well. And then Skousen says, and how is it effective if a San Diego ER nurse tested positive for COVID-19 8 days after receiving the Pfizer vaccine? With such an unreliable test full of false positives, who can tell? But the vaccine defenders will never admit the vaccine doesn't work, nor will they stop using the PCR test that keeps driving this false pandemic. So thank you, Brother Mark, again for sending your research on the COVID-19 fraud. I also actually wanted to give a brief update before the message on events that may be affecting us in the coming week to one degree or another. As expected, Donald Trump has not conceded the presidential election to Joe Biden, and no doubt never will. Whether he's forced out of office or not. Nancy Pelosi, of course, says she'll pull him out by his hair if she has to. That would really be fun to watch, would it not? That'd be something to watch TV for, Brother Mark. As most of us may know, for a couple of weeks now, Donald Trump has been calling his supporters to come to Washington, D.C. for a so-called Stop the Steal protest rally to be held this Wednesday, January 6th, the day Congress meets to... They're meeting in a joint session this Wednesday to count the electoral votes and to confirm the next U.S. president. Several streets around Washington, D.C., around the White House and Washington Mall are going to be closed for the event, which Trump said will be wild. It's going to be a wild time, Trump says. The rally will no doubt be met with opposition from Biden supporters and may well turn ugly, as happened last month when protests already drew thousands of Trump supporters to D.C., who clashed with Biden supporters. 4 people were stabbed, 33 people were arrested, and 4 downtown churches in Washington, D.C., including 2 historically black churches, were vandalized, no doubt by agent provocateurs. And so there is, trying to make all the Trump supporters look like racists. There is, I believe, in fact, a very infinitesimal, very small outside chance that Congress could potentially actually reject electors from the states accused of the fraud: Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona. A few of the congressmen have said they're going to object to the results and therefore forcing a debate on the issue. And so that may well happen. I'm not going to go into all the politics of that today, but personally, I highly doubt Trump's going to turn this thing around in Congress. I don't think it's going to happen. Either way, with the rally that Trump is planning, which it looks like may continue right up until January 20th and maybe after, when the next president is supposed to be sworn in, violence is sure to ensue. And so I just want us all to be prepared for that. You should all have all of your prep steps in place already if you can. And I was talking to Brother Sean earlier Friday about, we've got our freezer stock, but you also need to know, got this from Brother Mark, how to preserve meat with salt, and I've learned a little bit about how to do that. And so you all need to be ready to do this in case, for some reason, that the grid goes down, which I mentioned before, probably be caused more by local sabotage than by an EMP strike. So we need to all be prepared for these things. It could well happen that things could really blow up. So then, having said all that, back to our study in the book of Revelation. In part 2, we took notice of how the Lord Jesus is undeniably revealed.